I'm Nancy McCarthy. I'm a reporter for the Daily Astorian. You are listening to After Deadline today. Today we have two guests. One is Neil Wallace, who is the Public Works Director for the City of Seaside, and Mary Blake, who's the General Manager of the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great.
Good. Well, today we're going to talk about something that's kind of exciting going on in Seaside. We just had an announcement that the Broadway Park field development is just about to get underway after several years of maybe a little lack of funding. And so now it sounds like the funding is going to occur and we're going to have some new fields at Broadway Park. So tell me just briefly how this all came about.
Well, I love to say it's about building community, and the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District has had this field right in the middle of the park, and we've watched it for a quarter of a century, and then it has a great, great history. It was the center of a park master plan in the 30s that was extraordinary. So there were ball fields, playing fields, badminton courts, water features, all sorts of stuff, and there was a lot of vision in it, but the community wasn't able to carry that through. So from my experience, that vision never, maybe got a little blurred or it wasn't as crisp as ever. But now with the development of community partners, you have seen all sorts of things happen. And that is because of the imagination of our community and the belief that it should be there. So you've seen the development of skate parks. You've seen significant development of playground equipment and water features along the river, and now you're really going to see our community pulling together in what it is so strong with the use of volunteers, creativity, great leadership to do not just sports fields, but playing fields.
Neil, tell me just tell me a little bit about where the park is and how big it is, and describe it to me just a little bit.
Well, the park is located on Broadway. Hence Broadway Park
in Seaside.
It's just east of Highway 101, east of the middle school. It's in an area that's really become the hub of what's going on in Seaside. We've got the library across the street. We've got the middle school next door. We've got the Park and Rec Aquatic Center and their programs next door. It abuts Neawana Creek. It's not a terribly big park. We've only got about 8 or 9 acres, which is one of the reasons why planning has been so critical. I was going to say when Mary started that I really think that in its current incarnation that this was really spurred by the desire to develop the skate park. That had been in process for a long time. Mary knows what a struggle that was to get the skate park going. And when they tried to get funding for the skate park, the question that was asked, well, how does this fit into your master plan? And the answer was, well, we don't have a master plan. So let's develop a master plan. And in 2004, that came about. And that was the first step. Then they talked to city council and got permission from council to put the skate park in Broadway Park. But the initial concept was to have the skate park much closer to the creek, in an area where the water table is much higher. You would have had to build the skate park virtually entirely above ground, and you would have blocked off the view into the community area of the park. It didn't seem like it seemed like we were rushing to do a skate park without looking at the bigger picture. And that's when we decided it was time to take a step back, get some professional help. And we got the design team, Cameron McCarthy out of Eugene, to work with us and develop a plan for Broadway Park. So we knew that when we placed the skate park in there, that it was not going to be something that 5 years down the road we went, oh my goodness, if we'd been, what were we thinking? We should have put it over here.
Yeah, yeah.
And, those are bad things because skate parks are not easily moved.
Right.
So we backed up and we took a look at that. And of course, once you start looking at a plan for Broadway Park, it's not just where does the skate park go, but what are the other elements that are needed in the park? What are the other things that you want to see happen in the park? And there, we sat down with the Parks Committee, and there was a whole long list of things that we developed through the Parks Committee and the community and talks with the school district and everyone. And a lot of them just weren't feasible because it is a tight space. Mm-hmm. But the reorganization of the football baseball fields was one of the big pieces, and that the whole sports playing piece to this is going to get flipped about 180 degrees. Home plate, which has been in the southwest corner, is now going to be up in the northeast corner. And it's how we could make all of these elements fit to develop this so that not only can you play baseball and football, but we have a full-size regulation soccer field going to be happening there as well. And we wanted to do all that without infringing on what is that community area of the park, the area along the creek.
Now, the fields now are used by the school district, right, for the most part? Is that right? And Seaside Kids?
Seaside Kids plays games. There are lots of different things that go on the field. But because of the age, because of the tough weather conditions, because, the field at Broadway Park doesn't really support a very high level of activity. So during football season or during baseball season, other activities are kind of precluded from taking place there because they can't chance the damage to the field. And that's one of the great things about artificial turf is that given the right lighting, given the right situation, you could basically play on that thing 24/7.
So tell me what the master plan called for in the park, and how much did it cost to develop? I mean, in terms of how much was it going to cost to develop the park overall?
The entire park plan included the skate park, included the sports fields. It includes some trails. It included the playground piece, which we were fortunate enough to work with Mary and the whole community. That was another big community piece, which I guess we can touch on in a minute. Mm-hmm. But the new playgrounds, and then this kind of restoration of the riparian area along the creek and a little bit more development of the kind of the picnic facilities in the park.
And boat access and water access to the Niwana.
That's okay. True.
And how much was it going to cost altogether?
The original cost estimate for the entire thing, lock, stock, and barrel, was about $4 million.
Wow. And where are we now in terms of the plan, in terms of how much more money do you need to raise, or did you need to raise up until about a week ago? And who's contributed to this?
Well, the original cost estimate for the field, we've looked at trying to break this thing down. You develop some momentum, you develop plans, you got some excitement generated, the wheels fall off the economy, and then it gets more difficult for fundraising. So we took a look at the plans and tried to pare the project down, limit it to just exactly what would be needed for being able to play sports and make the field useful.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, because we're reorienting the field, you've got to have the field and you've got to have the lights. Can't do one without the other. You can eliminate concession stands, grandstands. You can make those things work in a different way. So we limited our focus to just that. And we thought we were looking at a project that was going to be in the vicinity of about $1.6 million.
And that's just for the fields, the lighting
and fencing.
Right. And mm-hmm. Did that also include the parking lot as
well?
That
included the parking lot. We were going to make some improvements to the parking lot as well.
Right.
We we had gathered somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million. We were sitting what we thought was about $600,000 shy. Mary and I went to state parks here a few years ago to try and get the grant for that. But that funding program was seeing harder times. They liked our project, but a program that had been able to give in excess of $4 million annually was now down to $1.5 million annually, and they weren't going to give us over a third of their budget.
I can't understand that.
Well, and also the interesting aspect of that is that they went to their technical book and they said, well, who manages the fields? You know, he stood there and said, who do you want to manage them? You know, and I was like, you know, we don't care. You know, we're a community. And they said, and that's where one of your questions, I think, is a deeper question, mm-hmm. is how is this being done? Mm-hmm. What kinds of relationships and partnerships do you really have? And the city owns the land. They do lease it to the school district for the use of the sports fields. And those are pretty typical to have IGAs, intergovernmental agreements. And for the sports fields, the school district has coordinated those. So that was one of those pivotal pieces that, you know, we sat there and looked at each other and it's like, okay, not only is the money, you know, we're falling short because of these really uncertain, desperate times, but also, you know, how can resources be best managed? Mm-hmm. So I'll segue back to Neil.
So we thought we were sitting in that neighborhood of $500,000, $600,000 shy, and this is the point where we seem to kind of get bogged down. Last year, we got some of the folks from Seaside Kids involved, and they really did a good job. They sparked a couple of different grants. You'd ask, you know, who had contributed through the efforts of Seaside Kids. We had the Autzen Foundation kick in $50,000. Community Foundation kicked in $16,000. I know I didn't bring my list, and I know I'm going to forget people, and I apologize to all of you. But with their efforts, we were a little closer. And a few weeks ago, I met with one of the field turf representatives that's been working with us on this thing since the get-go. And he said, you know, costs aren't what they were when we put all these numbers together a few years ago. You might be closer than you think. And we kicked some ideas around with him, and he offered some substantial savings, as did the lighting representatives. And I contacted the design team down in Eugene, and so what can we strip out of this thing? Well, we decided let's take the parking lot out. There was some additional concrete work that we were going to do. Let's take that. Let's trim this down to as trim as it can be and get the project done. And all of a sudden, we basically took $300,000 out of the budget.
So you're down to $300,000.
So, well, with what the Seaside Kids had raised, we were down to about $500,000, and now we're down to $200,000. While not over the top news, I thought this was good news. And whenever I have good news, I have to call and share it with my friend Mary. So I called Mary and asked if I could come by. And well, she was out and about. I'll come by and see you. And I pretty much gave her that whole story. And when I got down to the end and said, "So we're $200,000 away."
Exactly. No, really. You know, we're working on our budget, and in the budget process, we use our public and also the leadership of our board. There have been a number of things that have been happening. Last year, we really looked at the economy, how long it's being stalled. We established one step up on fees for instruction. We set minimums. We adjusted people's assignments. We've had a really good response to that because it's one of the best values in our community. So, you know, nobody left programs, actually. It was they stayed very strong, if not grew. We have a strong, very, very strong bottom line for some other reasons. Our taxes, we're conservative on estimating those. Those have come in, our back taxes. unfortunately or fortunately, because the economy, when something goes into foreclosure, back taxes are paid up first. Mm-hmm. So we had that, an outstanding legal issue that the county is dealing with. Wanna Mills is, you know, has been put off. That's been money that we've been set aside. So, you know, I mean, we're in a really good bottom line financial piece, but we have a building addition fund which is sitting with quote literally $200,000 from the sale of Annie Abel's house that the Park and Recreation District bought in hopes of either putting the skate park over there or in hopes of doing additional indoor youth programs.
And Annie Abel's house was on the site where the new library sits.
Exactly.
Now, the city bought that house from the park district.
Park and
right?
Recreation yes. District, with a promise made back to them, because, you know, there's a lot of wheeling and dealing that happens in the public good as far as land acquisition and the like. But we've developed the land behind the park and recreation with community gardens, and we wanted to do indoor youth programs. So we were scratching our heads and thinking, well, okay, where's our next step? But because the library has youth program opportunities and a public room, and because our drop-in room is still very viable, the kids are doing that, but also because the skate park has come on and the kids are staying outdoors longer and playing and really being wonderfully responsible. You know, this whole hub, as Neil has described it, really is the common space or common community ground for our community. People feel safe when they go there. We aren't sending people back and forth on the road. We've lowered the, you know, it used to be 25 miles an hour. We lowered that to 20 miles an hour. You know, we're moving people safely. But the Boy Scout hut that had also been on the spot where the library was moved, and that was lingering as far as who should be the, you know, the managers of that. And so we've been in communication and are about ready to enter into an agreement with the county to be that manager of that facility, which, quote, gives me more indoor youth space.
So you didn't have to use that $200,000 to build something.
We are going to, we're using that to build the community playing fields.
Excellent. Well, just before we move on to the next part of this story, let me remind you that you are listening to After Deadline. I'm Nancy McCarthy with the Daily Astorian, and we're talking to Neil Wallace from the City of Seaside and Mary Blake from the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District. You are listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. So you have money now from...
Oh, man, let me tell you. When this started going, you know, it was like, oh my goodness, it was sort of like, you know, a flow. You know, log jams were broken up, you know, all sorts of stuff. And it was like we both looked at, I mean, all of us are starting to look at each other and it's like, oh my God, you know, the dream can be realized. And because we're putting action into place, it's good planning. People don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. You know, you have strengths with all these different relationships. And all of a sudden, the Park and Recreation has come to the table on an equal playing field with the school district because we have a wonderful relationship and it always can be improved. And so Jason Boyd, the athletic director, and Doug Dougherty, you know, everybody's been at the table. And it seems like a sort of one of those, hello, you know, the facility is there. We could manage the not only the, you know, coordination of the scheduling, you know, people give us their schedule, we'll schedule it out. And also we can go out there and coordinate with the school district on requirements of playing field needs. And then we will be able to do the things that are healthy for folks to get out there and either, you know, and play in a different way.
So, Neil, tell me exactly what the plans are for the field. What, before we start playing on it, we need to build it. So what are we going to do with it?
The plans are coming together rapidly. We had the design team gave us basically a 95% complete set of plans and construction documents. So we're pretty close there. The reality is, how do we get from where we are now to playing football on it sometime this coming fall? That's the challenge.
So you're going to be putting artificial turf on it. You're going to be erecting lights up there. What else are you going to be doing?
Basically, the project is, there are five components to the project. We've got earthwork to do. We've got to get the field ready for the turf. We have to demo the what's there, demolish what's there. Mm-hmm. The old light poles need to come down. And actually, it looks like we have our first volunteer crew coming in early June to take those down. PPNL's guys have said they will come in and do that. Of course, we've got one that we've got to leave. We have some visitors up on top there who have made home in the park, the Osprey. Oh. So we're going to be leaving that one alone until after.
That'll be interesting. Okay.
So we've got to get the field prep. The field is flat. All the drainage happens underneath. This is 135,000 square foot playing surface that's basically built on top of a shallow drain field.
Oh boy! Now you're talking public works talk. So
I know.
Remember, we want to keep going on this. Why artificial turf? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, artificial turf supports a level of play that natural turf does not, particularly in these conditions. I started into that public works talk about being built on top of a drain field, but the truth is that regular turf in this climate, when it gets that wet, is so saturated that you can't play on it. You can't do anything on it. This turf, the artificial turf, the carpet is the what you see and interact with is from the carpet base up to the top. The carpet, the grass, and the rubber base. What's underneath is a shallow layer of rock that's been placed into a carefully graded subgrade where when it rains, that water just flows through, drains away, and is gone. You can play through rain. I mean, you can have this field is designed to handle a 10-year storm event and be able to play as soon as the event is over.
Wow.
It will handle a credible amount of water, and you can turn around and play on it.
Wow.
Sporting events that water isn't such an impact on, I mean, football, playing football in the rain, it's a little harder with baseball, but you can play football in any weather conditions because the field will support that level of activity. That's the importance of the artificial turf. The benefits to the turf, other than the playability of it, you don't need to water it during the summertime when water supplies are low. We figured 1 million gallons of water a year be saved. You don't have to fertilize it. You don't have to spread herbicides on it. You don't have to weed it. You don't have to put any kind of chemicals on it. We're adjacent to Neawana Creek, home to coho salmon. We don't have anything leaching in there. It's largely made with recycled product. So we think that the artificial turf, as well as being the best playing surface.
And safety.
Safety is another huge factor. Injuries are way down on this type of surface. So all of those things lend to make this the choice.
There's been one question, and we're going to have to deal with it real quickly, and that is why here in Broadway Park, why not wait until the school district moves up to the hills and maybe builds a field up there away from the tsunami danger? Is there any reason why we shouldn't wait for that?
Well, you have the history of Broadway Park. It's been the home since right after World War II. Do you want to give that up? Number two, it's not likely that the school is going to have enough area to build this type of facility up there. They can probably put in a practice field, but it's not very likely that they're going to have room to put in this type of facility up in the higher ground.
And because of the multiple use is that you're getting beyond just the sports playing field, even though that will be an economic driver on other aspects of the coordination of the fields.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds like it's going to be very exciting to watch from the Osprey on. It's going to be very exciting this summer. People can drive by or walk by and see all kinds of action on Broadway Park. And then when do you expect that they'll be able to use the park?
Right now, with the information that I have, because we haven't even gone out to bid yet, but we will be doing that soon. Our goal is to try and be ready by the end of September.
That's pretty...
Let's play!
Yeah, that's ambitious, isn't it?
It's very ambitious. My summer, Mary's summer, quite a few people's summer, has just gotten more interesting.
And people can volunteer to help as well. Isn't that right? Isn't there some work that volunteers can do?
Oh, boy.
Absolutely, people can volunteer to help. As we progress, Mary and her staff and the school staff and some city staff are going to have a meeting early next week to talk about how we're going to put together the rules and regs for dealing with the volunteers. We know that there's lots of folks out there that want to be involved in this, and we want to be able to utilize them in a productive, organized way.
And that's what builds community. That's what makes the ownership owned by the community, is because they'll always remember that they were part of the playing.
Hey, I built that.
That's right.
That's right.
I built that.
Well, we are excited about looking at this and seeing what happens this summer, and people can contact Neil or Mary if they want to volunteer or contribute some more money, because I'm sure you still need a little bit of money.
We can always go for that.
Well, I would thank you very much for coming by and talking to us about the Broadway Park. I'll probably have you on again as it gets closer and things start being planned for use of that field. We have other things we need to talk about regarding that field. I know that it's being looked at by some athletic associations for possible tournaments there. So we are really excited about this whole development. You are listening to Nancy McCarthy from the Daily Astorian on the After Deadline show. We have been talking to Neil Wallace from the City of Seaside and Mary Blake from the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for keeping this project alive for everybody to play.
Thank
we'll
you,
talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm.